Gunny. Great, good morning to you all. And obviously, John has introduced me as Simon. If you're here for the first time, I'm associate pastor here. And I don't know if we can just have the slide up that's got the Be Strong and Courageous verse, which we've already been reminded of this morning, haven't we? And what a tremendous verse. It was the verse that was the central message of our service and the talk last week, and the message which really forms the basis for the whole of our series on Joshua, which is all about trusting in the promises of God. And as I just reflected on that verse this week, I was also just sort of transported, really, to wonder how often our faithful queen might herself have reflected on that verse in her years of service to God and country, because she certainly lived by that encouragement, by that instruction, and by that promise. And it's only obviously fitting that we have given thanks for her and for her rule this morning. Well, last Sunday, we heard how following the death of Moses, this command to be strong and courageous was actually given by God to Joshua as he commissioned him and instructed him to lead the Israelites finally into the promised land. And Joshua was to keep God's word at the center of everything. He was to meditate on it, he was to speak it out, and he was to allow God's word to guide his decisions and his action. And in this time of change, in this time of challenge, this time of new opportunity, as Johnny reminded us last week, God promised to his people that if they were faithful in obeying him in those things, then the land, the promised land of Canaan, would be theirs, and they would be prosperous and successful. And so I know that our collective prayer as a church and as a nation is that we too may ourselves listen carefully to God's word as we enter this time of change, of challenge, and of new opportunity. So we're going to continue with chapter 2 of the book of Joshua, and our theme today is life-changing faith. And this is a theme that was assigned several weeks ago, actually, but it seems particularly pertinent, doesn't it, in the context of the events of this week and as we've reflected on Queen Elizabeth's extraordinary life and reign and the powerful impact that her own life-changing faith has had on so many. Three questions for us just to have at the back of our minds before we engage with the text. How does your faith impact your life and the lives of others around you? Who, by their faithful example, has had an influence on your Christian life and walk? And what does life-changing faith actually look like? So they're perhaps just some initial questions that might spring to mind, but we're going to hold them there for the moment, and so we're now going to look together at the text of Joshua chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, it's going to be up here on the screen. If you want to have a copy in your hand to consult as we go through, that's always a good thing to do, and if you need a copy of the Bible, the stewards will help you out with that. But let's read this text together. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they'd come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know where they went. go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you'll spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you'll save us from death. Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "The oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you've brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we're doing, we'll be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." I don't know about you. We've read through that story together. And as I've read it through on several occasions in preparation for today, I found it an intriguing and perhaps surprising but ultimately exciting story. And in fact, that's my reaction to quite a lot of scripture and the Old Testament in particular. I often catch myself thinking, why did God choose to do it like that? I wouldn't do it like that. And I need to remind myself that thankfully I'm not the one to write history. History is His story. It's the Lord God who is sovereign. It's the Lord God who is in control. It's Him who works things out according to His purpose. And while He does call me and each and every one of us here to be involved, ultimately our purpose is to serve Him and to point others to Him. And so that's where I want to begin today, by pointing us right at the start to the heart of life-changing faith. And I believe it's no accident that if you go back through and read this text again, it has right at its core in verse 11, Rahab's affirmation. she says this. She says, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Life-changing faith has at its center the belief and the understanding that God is sovereign, that he rules with supreme power and authority, both in the spiritual realm and in the earthly realm, and that in doing so, he unites the two. So we're going to start there, and we're going to anchor the rest of what we look at together today on that. And my intention is to keep it relatively simple in principle, because there are lots of elements of this story that could be discussed and debated and are by different commentators. And you may want to pick some of those things up in your small groups. There are some notes down the front and that have gone out by email today. But for now, I want to, having pointed us to that heart of life-changing faith, to briefly explore five key points which I think this story brings out. First is this: life-changing faith can be risky stuff. This secret spying mission that Joshua sends the two men out on is risky business. It's risky for him, it's risky for them, and it's risky for Rahab. Now, the last time that two spies were sent out on a reconnaissance mission into Canaan, that's described in Numbers 13, it was Moses who sent them out, it hadn't gone well. Of the 12 spies that Moses sent out, only Joshua and Caleb came back believing that the Lord would enable the Israelites to conquer the land. And so the people rebelled. And that's what ultimately led to 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. So Joshua was bold and courageous, as he'd been instructed, in sending these two men to Jericho. It was a risk. But it was a risk founded on the belief and understanding that the Lord God was sovereign, and sovereign over Israel, sovereign over Jericho. And so these two spies headed out from Shittim. And Shittim, by the way, means acacia grove. I love that, that Joshua was sending out these spies from a street just down the road from New Malden Baptist Church. Yeah? And these men knew that this was a risky mission. They were going into enemy territory. They were going to scout out a heavily fortified city by visiting a woman of dubious reputation. But they had faith. And they had faith in the Lord God and faith in Joshua's leadership. And so they went. Rahab herself was perhaps the biggest risk taker of all, however. When she was asked by the men that the king of Jericho had sent to hand over the spies who had entered her house, she protects them by lying to them and by sending the men off in the wrong direction. And were her lies and actions to have been discovered, she would almost certainly have paid for them with her life. At this point in the text where she makes that decision, she hasn't even been given the assurance that the Israelites will spare her and her family when they invade and burn the city. Was she completely crazy? Or somehow did she have risky, life-changing faith? Faith based on the belief and understanding that the Lord is God, and he's God in heaven above and on the earth below. Risky stuff, this faith business. Secondly, life-changing faith expresses itself through kindness. Rahab asks the spies to show kindness to her and to her family because of the kindness that she has shown them. And they, in turn, agree that when they return and the Lord gives them the land, they will treat her kindly. Now, a word study of the original Hebrew for kindness used in verse 12 is interesting here. I don't speak Hebrew or read it, but thankfully some of the people who write these great books do. And kindness here can also be translated as love or unfailing love. And it's apparently used elsewhere in Scripture to summarize God's covenant favor towards his people and the love that people are commanded to show to one another. Now, the faith-fueled choices that both parties make in this story are again interesting. Rahab could have turned the spies in right from the start, couldn't she? But she chooses to show them favor in their moment of need. And the spies themselves could easily have avoided any danger of Rahab potentially changing her mind and turning them in. They could, as they departed, have killed her before returning with their report to Joshua. But the fact that both the spies and Rahab chose to be kind shows that they were demonstrating life-changing faith. A life-changing faith demonstrated through the third quality. Life-changing faith is powered by promises. As Rahab and the spies exchange oaths and commit to ensuring their future mutual safety via escape through the window and then via the scarlet cord that they ask Rahab to tie there, it's worth noting that they are both trusting in one another's promises, yes, but also in the promises of the Lord God. The spies know that God has promised them the land of Canaan. Back in the first chapter that we looked at last week, God said this, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." And Rahab herself also clearly shares this belief. She says in verse 9 of our text, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you." Both have faith in God's promises. Both see that faith at work in the other. And both allow that faith to guide their own mutual promises and actions. Both have lives changed as a result. Both have their lives changed because life-changing faith brings salvation from judgment. Bible commentator David Guzik says that if you look at Rahab without her faith being taken into consideration, she is a pagan sinner in a city and culture given over wholly to the worship of false gods and immorality. And as such, she falls under the Lord's wrath and judgment. The spies, they're Israelites, yeah. They are part of God's chosen people, but part of a people who has repeatedly been faithless and disobedient despite God's goodness towards them. A people who are subject to judgment just like anybody else. And yet, for both Rahab and the spies, their life-changing faith brings salvation from God's judgment. In entering the promised land, the Israelites are finally claiming their inheritance. And it's their life-changing faith that empowers their salvation steps into the final stages of freedom from the bondage of slavery that they were subject to in Egypt. As they enter and burn down the city of Jericho in Joshua 6, the biblical text tells us that Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives amongst the Israelites to this day. So Rahab too finds salvation. Salvation from judgment and death through her life-changing faith. And amazingly, her faith is honored in the New Testament. It's honored in Hebrews 11, that chapter on the Great Hall of Faith. It's cited in James 2 as an example of faith in action. Rahab is also mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. Thought-provoking stuff. But life-changing faith doesn't stop there. Because life-changing faith gives testimony to the Lord. Rahab tells in verse 10 how she'd heard testimony as to the Lord's might and power, how he had dried up the waters of the Red Sea, how he had defeated the Amorite kings of Sihon and Og. And with her own faith having been born out of the testimony that she has heard, she then gives her own testimony that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There's a bit of a cycle there. Testimony heard, faith born, and new testimony then given in return. Having visited Rahab, the spies then returned to Joshua with their own testimony. It's in verse 24. It's not coming up on the screen, but right at the end of our text, the testimony of the spies back to Joshua. The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Faith of two men of God and the Israelite nation as a whole is confirmed by the life-changing faith and testimony of a previously pagan prostitute. Who'd have thought that? If I'm honest, I wouldn't. But it's intriguing, it's surprising, and it's exciting to think about. In coming to a conclusion, I think it's appropriate for us to reflect upon not only the life-changing faith of the spies and Rahab in Joshua 2, but just again to call to mind the inspirational and life-changing faith of our late but longer-serving monarch, Queen Elizabeth II. As many of you will know, I'm sure, having pledged to serve her country and the Commonwealth in a speech that she delivered on her 21st birthday, she then went on to serve as Queen for 70 years. Privileged was indeed the position that she occupied, but hers was not a life without risk. It was a life characterized by kindness. It was powered by promises. It was a life which repeatedly and explicitly gave testimony to the Lord. And a life which now continues for eternity through her faith, the saving faith in Jesus Christ. And the Queen's faith and faith in Jesus Christ not only underpinned and changed her own life, it also helped change the life of countless others. So as we go from here today, what can we take and apply, both by looking at the Queen's example, by looking at the example of life-changing faith of both Rahab and the spies? I've mentioned 5 points. 5's a lot of things to try and remember. But perhaps let's just try and remember and apply them through a kind of one sentence summary which incorporates all of these 5 things. I've highlighted a few keywords there in yellow. And if you juggle them around just a little bit, we have something that might help us. Life-changing faith, risky, kind testimony, promises salvation. Life-changing faith is powerful. Life-changing faith is risky. Life-changing faith is kind. It involves sharing testimony, testimony in word and deed, testimony to the fact that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below, testimony that he's faithful, faithful to his promise of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we think about testimony, I'd just like to invite up a man from our congregation whose life and faith bear witness to the things I've been speaking about this morning. Just want to hear you to hear from him for 2 minutes. This is you, Farhang. Come up now, please, because he has seen God at work in a powerful way in his life over the course of many years, actually. But just particularly wanted to give him a chance just to tell you a bit about what's happened recently. So come up to the microphone, Farhang. Farhang, really, the fact that he's here in the UK in the first place is proof that life-changing faith is a risky business. He's one of the kindest people I know. Yeah. But he's also got a testimony to share as to how he's seen God at work in his life just recently, particularly in terms of providing him with work. So over the past 6 months, Farhang has been working as an apprentice for a plumbing company. I think that's right.
That's right, yeah.
But just recently, as his probation period was coming to a close, he had the shock of being told that despite his good work, despite his diligence, despite the positive feedback that he had received, he wasn't going to be kept on. And instead, they were going to employ somebody else. So that must have been pretty upsetting for you. So tell us, Farhang, tell us a bit about what happened next.
Thank you for inviting me here. And
Speak up, nice and loud.
thank God. Provision of new job, new training opportunities, and better conditions. Thanks to God. Yeah. It was very sad, very difficult for me because I not have any experience in this country for job, and finding jobs very difficult for me, especially for technical job. I was happy in this company and I improved my experience, and it was new job, new technology. It was heat pumps installing because the government encouraged people to stop the fossil gas, and new technology was heat pumps that works with electricity and refrigeration gas. Looks like a fridge, but inverse. It was lovely time, but after 6 months, they said, bye-bye. We don't need you. Looks like I'm completely in dark place. I can't see anywhere. Especially for me, because I'm not English. I don't know anything about law for finding job. And I just have trust in God. It's not easy, because when you burn your hands, somebody says, oh, that's fine, that's okay. No, it's not okay. Hurt you. But the conclusion was better condition, better money, better opportunities. And I had such a bad month. Now I'm very happy. I'm very, very glad that I found this job. And they need me. Yeah. Thank God.
Great. Praise God.
Thank you.
Just going to pray for you, Farhang, just for a second. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your provision. We thank you that you do have plans for us, plans that are good. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes we do feel like we're walking in darkness and we feel like we've been burned. We feel like we don't know what the next step is. But help us, as Farhang has done, just to hold on to your promises, to see or to know that you are at work, even when we can't always see it. And so I just pray your blessing upon him now in his new place, in his new job. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's difficult talking for English people, as I'm not English. Sorry.
God is good. God's faithful. God's got a plan. God changes lives. So now it's over to God and you. It's over to God and us. We're going to listen to a song together now. It's a song called God of the Moon and Stars. And as we listen to this song, I'd encourage us just to close our eyes, to listen to the words, and there will be an opportunity just to respond in your heart if you sense the Spirit encouraging you to do so. I asked at the start, how, I wonder, does your faith impact your life and the lives of others around you? Who, by their faithful example, has had an influence on your Christian walk? And what does life-changing faith actually look like for you? Let's just listen to the track. Let's close our eyes.
God of the moon and stars, God of the gay and single sparks, God of the fragile hearts we are, I come to you. God of our history, God of the future that will be, what will you make of me? I come to you. God of the meek and mild, God of the reckless and the wild, God of the unreconciled, I come to you. God of our life and death, God of our secrets unconfessed, God of our every breath, I come to you. God of the rich and poor, God of the princes and the whore,
the Spirit touching you, prompting you about something that we've been hearing about today, perhaps just to stand. Life-changing faith is risky business. Maybe God's asking you to step out. Step out in faith. If that's the case, I'd encourage you just where you are to stand.
I come to you.
Life-changing faith is kind.
God of the war and peace.
Maybe you're being prompted just to show kindness to somebody who's close to you.
God of the grace.
Maybe he wants you to be kind to yourself.
I come to you.
If you sense him saying that to you, just stand where you are. Life-changing faith is built on promises. Maybe God's putting on your heart a particular promise of his that he wants you to trust and to hold on to in this coming time. Maybe he wants you to be promising something to him. Again, if that's you, bold and stand. It gives testimony, life-changing faith does. We've heard Farhang's testimony. Maybe God wants you to share yours, either in the coming weeks here at church or maybe again with a friend, a family or colleague. If you sense him saying that to you, stand. Life-changing faith brings salvation from
God
judgment.
Of our faith and unbelief,
maybe you,
I come to you,
recognize that you do need saving,
God,
as we all do.
We bear,
maybe you want to take that step
God
today.
The deepest dreams we share,
and if that is you, then where you
God
are, just stand.
Unspoken
say
prayer,
that to God.
I come to you.
And I would encourage you to speak to one of us afterwards.
God,
let's just listen quietly.
World
be alive to the Spirit.
God of the lonely cross. God who has come to us, I come to you.
Let's just remain where we are for a moment. Let's just remain in silence. Let's just allow God to touch us where we are. Say to us what he needs to say. If you're standing, thank you for your boldness and your faithfulness in doing so. Let me just pray for us. Lord God, thank you for the witness and testimony of life-changing faith. Thank you that as we read your word, you bring it alive by your Spirit to touch our hearts, to convict us of your truth, to give birth to faith in our lives, faith that you call us to share your gospel message, salvation through Jesus Christ alone. We thank you for that. And we ask for your help, Lord, as we work that out, each and every one of us, in our everyday, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. May we be people who, by our words and the witness of our lives, declare that you are God, you are sovereign, you are Lord in heaven above and on the earth below. May we continue, as we go through this week and the coming weeks ahead, be people who are seeking you, allowing you to lead us, to guide us. May we be strong and courageous, because may we hold on, knowing that you are with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.